for those looking to live outside the box of religious performance and inside the love of an awesome Father, this is The God Journey.
Well, I'm Wayne Jacobson, and I'm sitting in Forest Park, Fort Worth, Texas, Friday morning. Not the Friday morning this is airing, obviously, but on a Friday morning with an old friend of mine. Daryl, how long have we known each other? 30-some-odd years, I think.
This has been that long? Seriously.
Back to Visalia days.
Yeah, and that was back in 93. How long? That's not that long ago.
Oh, it's longer than that. 90.
90,
late 80s, early 90s,
Wow.
This is Daryl Luthes. If you've listened to The God Journey, I've read some of Daryl's letters from time to time. We've been on this God journey a long, long time together. And it all started back in the days when I was still pastoring.
One of those guys.
had a lot of hope that somehow we could tweak the system and make it work in a way that was glorious, but didn't find it. Same time you were... Boy, that up-and-coming star for the Seventh-day Adventist. You were the youth guy and musician guy. How'd we meet? Do you remember?
You had written a piece in leadership about church and stuff, and my senior pastor said, hey, read this, and I did, and I said, wow, you're here in the area, so... Somehow I got
you
a hold of you.
Called me or something.
Yeah, I called you or something, and I just said, wow, I read your stuff, and I was all impressed, and I guess you liked it, the fact that I was impressed. I don't know.
No, I don't think that was it.
And so you had lunch with me or something to that effect, and then we just started the same journey. I mean, our hearts were the same. We didn't like the way things were. I was trying to change the structure.
Where you were. And I was trying to tweak the one I was in, because I was somewhat in charge of it, though that didn't turn out to be true at the end. But, yeah, we were looking for ways for the church to be more alive, more real, kind of the Naked Church days. That book would just come out.
Love that book.
I do, too. I still get stuff from people going, that book is just the most wonderful thing. And I still love it. I got a chance to rewrite it in 98 after I went through some of my transitional change. I'm glad it's not the original book, because there's a whole lot of institutional answers I would not be as thrilled about today. But you were on a great journey, and then we ended up, I got kind of booted from my deal. You were still on staff for a while.
I was still on staff for a couple of years. And, in fact, it was interesting. I remember a transitional point where Kevin Smith, I went out and had, he was coming to visit you.
He's my friend from Australia.
Yeah, friend from Australia.
He's been a great brother to me as we walked this journey together. And there's a number of podcasts by Kevin if you want to go back and listen to them. They're in the archive. So.
Well, yeah, I had an opportunity to meet him and have lunch with him, and we were sitting in the car right in front of the vineyard by your house, and I was dropping him off, and he said, you know, Father's calling you out, and I go, no, I don't think so. There's a lot of change that can be made, and a year and a half later, man, I was gone. I still remember that, going, no, I don't think so.
Well, I think we both knew that you were asking some of the wrong questions that were going to be problematic.
Yeah.
Either the group's going to change with you, as the associate guy, that's not likely to happen. I think it was obvious that there was something growing wonderful in your heart. And we'd gotten to be pretty good friends. We even vacationed some together with your family.
Yeah.
And then you had as you moved out of that, you had some kind of hot business deal you were getting involved in.
Yeah. I've done so much on the transition out. You know, I've done offshore kind of stuff, tax reduction strategies. I've sold insurance. I've built homes. I've done a lot in the process of getting broken so that I wasn't trusting in all the stuff that I could do.
Wow.
You know, I mean...
And where have you gone from there? From Visalia, you went to...
From Visalia, I went to Tyler, Texas. From Tyler, Texas, I went to Dallas. From Dallas, I went to Chattanooga, Tennessee. From Chattanooga, Tennessee, came back to Dallas, and I've kind of moved around Dallas, and now I'm working at Home Depot.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Quite a journey.
Yeah, and it was all a part. You know, every time I thought it was for a specific purpose, basically to get back on my feet, get rich again. But it was for some...
Is Home Depot doing it for you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much it. You know, I think I finally had to come to terms with, you know, I had business opportunities that I would go to, and I went to Tennessee for that. But really what that was for, you know, Father has a way of just getting you where you're supposed to be, because that always has been, from the get-go, my heart. I mean, that was the prayer that I prayed, and it started me on this journey when I was sitting in my office as a pastor, and I knew it wasn't the fullness. I wasn't seeing the healings. I wasn't seeing the peace. You know, we talk about peace that passes all understanding and going to have that peace, and I didn't have peace. Hmm. I didn't see anyone that really did. And then I'm saying, okay, Father, I want to know. I'm spending time with you. I want to have that peace and do whatever it takes to get me where you want me to be. Hey, look at that. Look at that.
Oh, my gosh. There's a walking stick on top of a walking stick.
Oh, well, I know what they're doing.
Well, one soap. Let me get a picture of this. Okay. This is amazing. What were we talking about?
Talking about sitting in my office and prayed the prayer, do whatever it takes to get me where you want me to be. And probably 2 weeks later, I was saying, I changed my mind.
Two weeks into this journey.
2 weeks, I was saying, I changed my mind because I was miserable. Wow. I was miserable. And I just, from that moment, it was just a journey of grace, brokenness. He took away everything that I depended on other than him. I mean, because I depended on
a lot
of stuff.
In 2 weeks?
No.
Okay. What made you miserable in 2 weeks?
I don't know.
Was it just kind of seeing things as they really are?
Yeah, I was dissatisfied. I mean, the dissatisfaction became clearer and clearer. You know, I would sit in staff meetings and I would be thinking to myself, how can I sabotage this particular program so people had time to spend with Father? You know? I'd be going like, how can I sabotage this thing? Because it just seems like such a horrible waste of time. You know?
And would they actually spend time with Father if I sabotaged it?
Yeah.
That's the other thing.
That's the other thing. That's true. But I was really thinking that at that point that people needed time with their family and time with quiet time with God in order to get where he wanted them to be. And that's where I wanted to be. And there was a dissatisfaction. And then there was a time in which I went up to, you know, Fish Camp, California, and up in the mountains for 3 days, kind of fasted and prayed. And when I came back, I immediately went and resigned.
Wow.
I just, you know, I did it before. I felt so comfortable when I made that decision just to leave my career, leave everything that I knew. I just had a peace about it. And I wanted to do it. Once I had peace, I wanted to go and resign before I felt peace so that, you know, well, I can do this still. You know, it would have been easy to say, yeah, I feel peace, so I can keep doing this. But I went and resigned, and it's been a journey ever since. But it's always something in which Father would lead, and there was definitely a purpose, but most of the time it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. Hmm. I moved to Tennessee, and the reason why I moved to Tennessee, and this to me is amazing.
When you first came to Texas because of some business stuff.
It was a business deal. I had met somebody there. In my life, I lost pretty much everything at that point.
Yeah, do you mind? I may not have the details, but your marriage ended up blowing apart.
Yeah, it did. And I want to be really, really careful because,
absolutely.
You know, basically my partner and my ex-wife, they ended up, they're married now.
Your business partner.
My business partner that I went to do business with. And that pretty much crushed me. I'd spent 2 years without getting any pay, 2 years of my money, throwing it into the business. The business is still going, and I couldn't function anymore. I mean, I literally was, I was devastated.
No, I can't imagine. And that's been the thing, is I've watched your story, Daryl, and we keep intersecting fairly frequently. I'll get email from you, and you know, respond. And then when I travel around, you show up in various places. You've been in Georgia with me. You've been in Nashville with me. And now we're in Texas, so I get really confused as to actually where you live. But I guess as I've watched your journey, here's a guy that lost the job he had, and then a business thing he had great promise and excitement about, and then the marriage and family kind of blows up, though you've maintained an incredible relationship with your kids through all that. I mean, I love the relationship you have with both your kids, and we talk about them a bit. I've watched that, and I've watched a guy pay a huge price to go on the journey that you've gone on. And you went through some very scary bits.
Yeah.
I get email from Daryl going, okay, well, now he's really jumped off the deep end.
Yeah, it was pretty much, you know, I was going to find it. I was going to find the real piece. I was going to look wherever it took. And I stepped outside the box way out.
And other religious things.
Into Taoism, into Buddhism, I studied all that. And it became very New Agey. I mean, I look back and I just kind of like go, really? It's hard to believe that's where I was, but yeah, it was. And
we talked about this at breakfast today, but you were looking for this peace and this mm-hmm. life, but you were looking outside of Christ to mm-hmm. find it. And yeah. did you find it?
There definitely is peace. There's definitely more of a peace, but it's ultimately not from a. In my experience,
well, it's more peace than Christian religion.
Absolutely,
there's
more
peace than that.
None.
It's
a lot of work. Yeah, yeah, I found more peace through that, but it really wasn't fulfilling. And there's so much to it. I kind of found that's not Father's peace. It's from a different power source, you know, and I didn't realize that.
At least it was for you. I have met people who actually came to Christ by, you know, dabbling in some Buddhism, but actually came in, not because Buddhism led them there, but because Jesus found them there.
Absolutely.
But a lot of people have come through that doorway because Christianity is such the opposite of a God of peace and love and freedom. It was work and labor and emptiness and futility. So mm-hmm. I know when other people have kind of looked into some of those things, I've had some tell me, I found more peace in Buddhism than I found in Christianity. But they actually sorted out, they'd found the God of the Bible there. Mm-hmm. Now, you found a very dark place.
Yeah, I got tired. Really what happened was I finally got so exhausted of trying to do it on my own. Mm-hmm. You know, thinking that I could use my skills, but
it was a works thing then for you. I mean, it's such a disciplined trying. It wasn't just nature and peace and finding God in creation.
No.
It was.
It's if you get to a certain point.
A performance.
You're going to get to that peace. You're going to attain that peace. You're going to, you know, I'm reading a lot of books and it made a lot of sense, you know. Books about living in the now. You know, just stay now, don't look about the future or the past, which is true. But apart from Father cleaning up the past and taking care of the future, it really doesn't do anything. So, I basically came back around in some amazing stories. I mean, story after story, which he came out and he redeemed, he revealed to me because I didn't find it. He found me. I mean, he really did. I went searching for him, but he found me. I mean, I look back and I every person that I've run into that impacted me and brought me back to where I was, I mean, some of them are really strange. Hmm. I mean, some of the people are my very good friends, but we're totally opposite. And if I had some friend to choose, I wouldn't choose them.
Yeah.
It's those kinds of things, unexpected. You know, everything that I expected would happen, not everything, but how I expected to happen, it was for a different reason. I think I started out with, which is meaningful to me, is the move to Tennessee. We all of a sudden received another opportunity, my daughter and I, because I raised my daughter from 13, Clara, from 13 mm-hmm. to now as a single father. And that was the biggest blessing that she came to choose to live with me. And we moved in the middle of the school year in 2 weeks. Took everything, moved to Tennessee, not having a home to stay in when we headed out because it was a business opportunity.
Okay.
It was a business opportunity. And I thought I was going to get back on my feet. You know, we pick up and we went. It didn't pan out like I thought. I mean, I built homes over there. I did some other stuff, but it never, I sold insurance. It never did what I thought it was going to do. But I realized the reason why I went there was because I needed to give my full attention to Clara. I needed to be a father. When I was here in Dallas, I had friends. I had people that I was seeing. I had that kind of thing going on, which didn't give the full attention to her. And what she needed was just her dad. She needed my love. I needed to sit back and make her the number one investment in my life. And that's really what that was about.
And she was like 13, 14?
She was 13.
Okay.
She was 13. And such a blessing because it turned out our relationship is such that she's the biggest blessing in my life. And my heart just gets big and, you know, what else really matters? It's His grace. You know, I was thinking it was going to be something else, but I know that He's faithful and that as I continue to just do that, it's amazing the repercussions. Clara, she's on her own journey now, and she was out there, and she remembers where she learned faith. And where she learned faith was when we took off to Tennessee and not knowing where we were going to live, and when we pulled in the morning, by the afternoon, we had a place to live. We moved our stuff in, and we'd purchased a little little home, you know, knowing that somehow Father provided. You know, I really wasn't thinking about it that much. I was just going, and I didn't think it made a big difference until she came and said, "Dad, that's where I learned faith. That's one of the things that taught me faith is how you lived your life." And I wasn't even thinking about it. I wasn't saying, "How can I be a man of faith?" Right. I was just shuffling. Just keep shuffling. Keep shuffling your feet and seeking Father. And He gets you there, you know? It's been quite a journey, and now it's just Home Depot, which is a blessing, you know?
Well, what I've admired about your journey, I mean, we're getting a lot of ambient noise here. I hope it's not too distracting. We've got birds chirping and trucks backing up. But
yeah, but it's beautiful here.
It is beautiful on a Friday morning in Dallas. Fort Worth, excuse me. Losing your marriage, watching your family break apart, vocationally frustrated in some of the things you really had designs to do, and losing ministry. I know there are parts of ministry you really love. You love the talking, the guitar playing, and lead. I mean, there's some of that stuff, you know, opening the scriptures to people. You loved that, didn't you?
It's funny. Yeah. I mean, I love people. I love people. I don't know that
the things were so important.
Yeah. You know, I know that the reason why I kind of liked being a pastor, I liked preaching, was because I really hated sitting in church.
And listening.
Yeah. You know, if I was preaching, at least I was doing something, and I was active, and what I heard, I liked.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I hear you.
But, you know, if I was going to have to be in church, at least I was doing something. Because
yeah.
I always said, man, this has got to be more to this, because somehow I just never really enjoyed sitting and just listening to people.
But I look at the trajectory of my life back to that time when we were friends early on, and I, you know, went through some vocationally painful stuff getting out of the quote-unquote ministry. But then the lines always fell for me in pretty pleasant places. I kept writing, kept hanging out with people. And my marriage had just deepened and grown through this thing. And I look at people who get on this journey, and they're hopeful. I guess the thought is, well, if I start getting this right, my life will just go incredibly well.
Just like Wayne's, yes.
Well, we've had our share of pain, but it hasn't been the vocational frustration or the marital frustration that I know my good friend is going through. And my heart hurt for you. Because, I mean, we knew you and Mary Lou. We hung out with you guys. And I loved you both. Loved what you guys had together. And to watch that go blow up. And then to watch you keep going on. To get into some scary theological places. But I even use that as an example. Because people talk to me, you know, so-and-so's getting free. But now they're getting really scary stuff. And I'm saying, I got a friend. went to some very scary places, but you know what? When people are looking for their real deal, they'll find it.
Absolutely.
It may take a while, but God's got them. God hasn't lost track of you and where you're at.
Yeah.
And then your emails a couple of years ago just started, when I'd read them, I was just detecting, here is somebody that is very content in a place that most people wouldn't be contented. I mean, you're an associate at Home Depot.
Yeah.
And you're living in Plano, Texas. And yet there's just a contentment and an excitement about who God has you engaged with every day of your life.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love that. I love that you've landed in such a spacious place spiritually that maybe doesn't look like a spacious place externally to people who would judge it by the circumstances.
Yeah. I can't look at my life through the world's eyes, because if I do, I could get really bummed. Because it can be kind of like, wow, you know, you're a failure. What have you attained in your life? You know, what are you doing? How much do you make? Those kinds of stuff. Or what about your future, your retirement? You know, I mean, it's all gone. I have to trust that Father is going to meet my needs. And it really is day by day. It's that manna thing.
Yeah.
But I just know that He will. I know that He will. I mean,
and you're
not
one of those irresponsible people that's not doing what they ought to be doing. I watch you, every little job you found, you've done responsibly the things God's put before you.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. It's not like you end up because you just didn't have any initiative or drive, because you do. But tons of that.
Yeah. You know, it was all a process of me realizing that I can't do anything. It's not what I do, it's what He does. When I was in sales, that was probably some of the biggest growth that I had. He had me do basically commission, total commission jobs, which is kind of, you know, there's a big end that you can make as much as you want. On the other hand, you can make nothing.
It'd be a nightmare job to make.
It was hard. It was hard because I had to be really learning to trust that He's going to do it. But what I realized is, if Father wanted me to sell something, I would be able to sell it even if I was the worst salesman in the world, even if I was horrible, because He's my provider. Home Depot was not my provider. I do it because that's what He calls me to do. And so you do the best that you can, but the outcome really has nothing to do with why you do it. There's a lot of stuff in corporate America when you work retail that I got to be careful, because maybe someone's going to listen to this.
Your boss, I mean?
Yeah.
No, probably not.
No, hey, you never know. You never know.
Then be careful.
Father's working. Exactly. I have an opportunity to impact everyone that, you know, I mean, you impact everyone that you talk to, because, man, He just feels, when you're loved by Father and He fills you up, what I'm finding is, you have so much extra love to give away. You just do. And it's not your love that you're doing. You're not loving Him. You're just giving away His love. And it's such a joy.
I met a man this summer, and he introduced himself to me as the pastor of Chick-fil-A in some city in North Carolina. I said, what? They have a pastor at Chick-fil-A? And he said, he'd been a pastor at one point, but he got a job at Chick-fil-A, and he just kind of walks through, schmoozes customers. Mm-hmm. And his boss gives him the absolute freedom to talk about. And he said, yeah, I do. People come to Chick-fil-A because they want to talk to me. And I'll sit down and we talk about Jesus and we talk about their journey. And when I listened to you talk this morning about Home Depot, I'm thinking, yeah, you're the pastor of Home Depot or whatever. and not that you're, you know, leading Bible studies and being obnoxiously Christian, but you just love and care about the people you work with. And the people who come into the store and the conversation. You're not looking to evangelize everybody. I love that. You're just looking to care about people, help them with what they need. And then the doors God's open. The stories you told me, I think, are just absolutely rich.
Yeah, it's kind of like the everyday. It's kind of like the everyday, because so many people are hurting out there, especially right now. There's so much suffering. You know, there's so much brokenness, and really what they need is just to know that they're loved, you know, and I can't show that to them, but I can love them because Father loves through us,
yeah.
You know, and it just, it, I like living that way. I like living that way. And, you know, as far as where you go or what you expect, Father totally is he's faithful. That's bottom line in learning that you just keep your eyes on him. If I look at anywhere other than what's happening tomorrow, I mean, I'm just so blessed today. You know, I mean, you get to understand all the little blessings that he sends each and every day. And I'm just, I don't know. A lot of times it's not so much of what you say, it's just what you become, you know?
We've got a little walking stick. We got two of them, actually.
They're pretty cool, aren't they?
They're just hang out with us today. I've never seen one before, but it's crawling on our mic gear as we're talking, so it's fascinating. Not much of a picture, though. I tried to take a picture of them, and you know what? They're so skinny. Can't see a darn thing. But
I know.
Yeah.
And it's because it's camouflaged up against.
God did a pretty good job of camouflaging the little guys. So what are the most important lessons, looking back, I mean, that have allowed you to live contentedly in circumstances you'd never chosen for yourself? And it's a trusting God as provider. I'm hearing that as a real theme. And when I hear it, it's not just words you're saying because they're the right words to say. That some you're really living in that space.
Yeah, yeah. It's, yeah. You know, it's so hard to put it into words. That's what's difficult, is to put it into words and not sound cliche. But the fact of the matter is, it's really simple. And you talk about it. And it's kind of like, if anyone's out there that has listened and says, man, that sounds really good, but man, I'm not experiencing it, all I can say is when you get it, you're going to get it. When I was going through the really tough times, I'd listen to the podcast and go, yeah, it would encourage me. But I didn't get it. Other than step by step, as Father shows himself faithful in the horrible things that we come up against, that we don't think that we can bear, he shows himself faithful somehow, and it's miraculous. It's miraculous. When we see that, the ability to trust him grows a little more. And then you think you got it. Oh, just trusting. And then he takes you to another place where you can't trust him anymore. And you know what? You go, oh, I can't trust. And then he's faithful. And that step by step, that trust grows until pretty soon you just... I mean, there's going to be something else. I want to be really careful because there's going to be something else and I'm going to go, oh, I'm not trusting. But, you know, even when I'm not trusting now, I know it's just the process. Because I'll hit something and I can't trust. I'll run into another wall that I'm going like, oh, guy. But I do know, just let me be. Let me be a man of little faith. Let me be a man that can't trust. Let me sit back and worry about something that he's got control of, but I just can't stop worrying. I know I'm going to get through it. I know that it's going to be. And so you just hold on.
Yeah,
you know?
I like the process of God winning us to trust. It's not we should trust him and you have to act like you trust
right.
him even where you don't. God right. wins us. And I don't know that I'd always say, you know, God put me in a place where I couldn't do this. I think life puts us in different points of extremity. I'm not sure God's hand is the one pushing it. But those opportunities are when he says, okay, we're going to go deeper here. You're going to get to learn to trust me more.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm really comfortable with the fact that I think that all of my days, I'm still going to find myself in places going, okay, my trust doesn't extend here yet, but God led it. Maybe that's the author and finish of our faith. He's going to grow it. Then it really is going to become, let's get noisy here. We got airplanes and trains and, but he's really going to grow it into a kind of reality that, I mean, I sit here and go, there's no way I could have the faith that I live in today. It wasn't mine to produce. But I cooperated with him. I mean, I let him... I guess the one thing we do is we don't save ourselves when we can.
Right.
Because I think that's where people... If people can push a button and kind of rescue themselves, they never get to that point of the miraculous, how does God provide? Because they've done whatever they could do for themselves.
I think that that's probably because I'm a doer, is maybe the reason why my journey has led to what some might consider very humbling, you know, a little rough. is because if I could do it on my own power, I would. Until I didn't have money to save me, until I didn't have status, until I didn't have the career, until I had to sit back and say, you know what, I need a miracle. And that's when the miracles happen. You know, it's not until I'm at the Red Sea with the Egyptians coming on the back end and the Red Sea in front of me going like, oops, you know?
Yeah.
It's not a miracle, because I could always say, well, that 501K, you know, 401K. 401K. I was able to see, I don't even have it anymore.
It's the 501C3 or it's the 401K.
Yeah, 401K. You know, I hate to use that, but you know, I'm going to have to use that. So thank you, God. No, I mean, that's my maneuvering to sit back and try to save myself. And that's not really a miracle.
Right.
It's not a miracle until you're going, uh-oh, how am I going to pay the rent so that my daughter has a roof over her head?
Wow.
You know, how is that going to happen? And he has you go on a work fast. He literally had me sit back and say, no, stay time with me. Don't go out and work, even though you're paid by commission.
Right. You got to be really sure that's him, yeah?
Well, I couldn't. I was paralyzed. And I said, okay, you know, I can't go out feeling like I'm feeling. That was hilarious. I mean, it wasn't hilarious then, but it was hilarious.
Can't imagine.
Now, because I couldn't move. I said, okay, Father, I'm going to spend time with you. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to spend time with you. I got to feel peace, because if I can get out there, I can't function. So I tried to read the Bible. I tried to spend devotional time, and it just was going nowhere. And I said, okay, if it takes all day long, I'm going to spend all day long. All of a sudden, I felt his presence. Okay, I spent the whole day with him. I said, can I go the next day? All ready to go. Get at it. Got up. I felt the same way. I'm going like, oh, man. So I called a friend, and she has kind of like this prophetic gift. And she said, you know, I think Father's called you on a work fast. I'm going, you're kidding me. Really?
When I need the money?
Yeah, I need the money.
It's a really bad time.
And then, yeah, exactly. And then she said, yes, and you shouldn't do it until he releases you. I'm going, really? And all of a sudden, I felt convicted that that's really what it was. I was going like, dang. You know? Oh, she spoke it, and I kind of went, oh, I think that's probably right.
Yeah.
So Wednesday, I stayed home, enjoyed it, got up, ready to go Thursday. Man, Thursday was down. I was going, okay, wonderful 3 days. But there was no money, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, wonderful 3 days. So I got up on Friday and said, Father, I had one appointment that I made a week and a half ago that I need to go see. Can I go and do that? He said, I felt released. Got in my car, went down to the one meeting, came back from the meeting, went to the office, dropped off the stuff, and I went from the bottom of the sales of the group, bottom of the sales to the top.
The one sale.
The one sale.
Wow.
And I went, wow. You know, that was miraculous. And it wasn't, I couldn't have learned that until I was done wiggling. I was done doing what I could do. And because I'll do it. And I guess that's maybe the reason I see that. And I see that in so much. And he's not done. He's not done, and I'm not saying, you know, I'm going to, you know, my life is good. My life is good. I mean, when Paul says, I can be content in all things, he's absolutely true, because it's talking about Father, the kingdom of heaven, God's kingdom, his value system, not the values of this world.
Yeah.
And it's so much richer there, and we get blessings along the way. I mean, truly, I can't explain it. It just, he's faithful.
I love that. Even, say, worldly-wise, I've not accomplished anything. But spiritual-wise, I mean, you live in one of the freest spaces that I know. I know people who want this freedom, keep saving themselves, maybe have lots more externally, maybe have stuff to boast in, but don't live with the freedom that you live with and the love that you can share with other people, because you're not lost in the things the world says are important.
No, yeah.
And I think I love that. That's why I want to do a podcast with you. We tried to do this a while back, couldn't get Skype to work right for us. But that's why I wanted to share that story with other people, because I think
most people's stories, the trajectory is not always, I'm living in God's blessing and the material trajectory of my life continues to get greater and greater. Mm-hmm. Most people who live this journey just find that God's invited them to a much different space, and the way the world measures our life isn't significant at all and isn't even that which brings joy and peace to people.
No.
Even though they think it will. If I just get this raise, just get this house, just get this, then my life will be really good. And the love and joy and fulfillment and life in Jesus isn't found in those things at all.
No, it isn't.
And you can have some of those things or you can not have them. But it's where's God asking me to live and living there with the fullness and freedom to be his child. I think that's fabulous. Yeah. I admire you, brother. I admire the choices you've made and the places you've walked. And
well, that means a lot. I do. I appreciate that. You know, it's not the norm. You know that old song, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full of his wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim. You know, we should just sing that, but all of a sudden that really the things of this world in comparison to his presence and walking through this stuff, it really becomes dim. You know, all the stuff that just takes time, you know. If you have a big house and then you have taxes and you have to deal with all the paperwork. I don't have to anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have to deal with stuff. I just get up every morning and say, okay, this is what I've got, and what are you going to provide for me today, and where do I go? I mean, it's that simple. And it's got its ups and its downs, but there are, it's taught me some things about him that, you know, you can't pay for.
Think back 30 years to sitting in your office at the Seventh-day Adventist Church in Visalia to now. No, just really. Yeah. I mean, I look back at things like that in my life and go, man, the joy and fullness that this life has brought. And I almost ask everybody who's gone on this journey and particularly been through very difficult stuff, any regrets?
None.
Yeah, I never hear anybody say, yeah, bad choice. I should have stayed back there. Yeah, I don't hear that. And I love that.
Traveling with us on the God Journey. You can be part of the conversation by visiting our website, thegodjourney.com.